Hi, I'm Kate Large, and welcome to the Communicating with Your Angels class. I'll be your guide, holding a safe space for you to open your heart to connect and communicate with your angels. In this section, you'll get to know me, and we'll lay a foundation to make the connection with your angels easier. If you're new to my work, I'm the founder of Soul Kisses Spiritual Whispers, a website that was created to help provide guidance, comfort, and support to those who are beginning or are actively experiencing their spiritual life path. That's www.soulkisses.com. The website's loaded with information, resources, products, and classes that are both free and for sale. I'm a teacher of hope and possibility, author, medium, and Power of Two spiritual life coach. I do provide angel readings for others, and I love doing it. But I also believe in teaching people how to communicate with their angels instead of just doing it for them. Remember that quote by Confucius, "Give a man a fish, and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man a fish, and he'll eat for a lifetime." So just to let you know, I do get readings from others periodically. You know, I'm human too, and I love to get validation from another human that I'm understanding the guidance of my angels. So please open your manual to the first section, and you'll see that the first page is a notes area. So if you'd like to take notes, you have a place to do that, and if you don't, that's okay too. But at this time, I'd like to briefly touch on deceased loved ones of the angelic realm. I believe that our loved ones who've crossed over can continue to communicate with us. And if you've read my book, Waiting in the Other Room, you know of the continued communication I've had with my dad since he died in 2005. You know, the love that we share with our loved ones lives forever, and the death of the body is just a breath for the spirit shifting from physical form to spiritual form. When my dear friend Barbara Mark, co-author of the wonderful Angel Speak books, died, her sister Trudy called to tell me of Barbara's passing during the night. When we got off the phone, I walked into my office and I looked around and said out loud, "Well, I guess I should get some work done today." And then clearly I heard Barbara laughing, and she said, "If you can't take off when your best friend dies, then when can you?" I immediately grabbed a pen and paper and wrote down everything she had to say. Then I went out and had my nails done and got a pedicure, because that's exactly what Barbara would have done. Now some people, some spiritual people, will tell you that when people die, they can't come back and talk to the living so quickly. I wasn't aware of this belief, so I didn't put any limiting beliefs on what those of the spirit realm can or cannot do. So when my dad died and Barbara died, I was open to communicating with them right away. I asked Archangel Metatron about this one day, and he reminded me that there's no time in the spirit realm. Time is an illusion of the physical world, our human illusion. He said that believing a deceased loved one who has fully crossed over cannot come speak to you right after passing is a limiting belief that we put on ourselves. Through the years, I've worked with many angels, Archangel Metatron, Michael and Uriel, Jesus, my protector guide, Chief Running Bear, my master teacher Ezra, as well as other guides and teachers and deceased loved ones. Now some of you may be thinking that I make it sound easy to talk with those of the angelic realm, but it isn't easy for you. I must share with you that I worked very hard to be able to communicate with my angelic crowd. I struggled with doubt of really connecting. Then I discovered how really easy it is. I was like many of you. You want to communicate with your angels. You try, and you feel like it isn't working. Or you think you are, but you aren't sure, and you get discouraged. I did too. When Jesus asked me to put together this class, he also asked me to share my story of learning to communicate with him and my angels. He told me that sharing my story is a vital component to help those of you listening right now to release doubt and fully open your heart to the infinite possibility that is you. When I was trying so desperately to communicate with my angels, I felt like I was all on my own. And I was, from a physical world standpoint. My angels were with me, but I was doubting the connection, so I felt alone. And many of you probably feel like this too. You know, the fact is, our angels are always with us. They're a part of us, the God part within. Their energy is a part of us. That's why when we consciously set the intention to connect and communicate with them, we often don't recognize their energy because what we feel, we felt before. Nothing changes. But, you know, we're expecting something more, something different. As we practice allowing and believing our connection with the angels, we're better able to recognize that tingle of warm, fuzzy love that's them. And we realize they've been with us all our lives. Now, the more we expand our hearts, shifting into love source, our energetic vibration raises to more closely match that of the angelic realm. Now, please make a note of this, and I'll say this again because it's very important that you understand this. The more we expand our hearts, shifting into that love source, our energetic vibration raises to more closely match that of the angelic realm. This is a really, really good thing. But when we more closely match the energy of the angelic realm, many tell me that their angels have deserted them because they cannot feel them anymore. You know, your angels didn't leave you when this happens. Know that your angels will never, ever leave you. The reason we don't feel them the way we used to is because our vibration is returning to our home vibration of the angelic realm. And as a result, while you're still living in your physical body, your energetic vibration is aligning more with theirs. This is what we came here to do. It's a time to rejoice because we've ascended our energy. On track 3 of the class, we're going to do an exercise with Archangel Michael to learn what our angel's energy feels like. Today, you have a human voice supporting you, telling you that you can communicate with your angels, and it's going to be easy. Together, we're the power of two, and that makes you unstoppable. Now I'll share my story with you. As a child, I was raised Southern Baptist. And if you know anything of this religion, there's a lot of fear involved. I remember the night I was baptized, I felt lighter than air, like I could fly. Then by the time I became a teenager, I had a really hard time accepting all the judgment and fear the Baptist religion taught. In high school, I wrote a paper about the devil that scared me so bad I had to sleep with the lights on. Daddy picked up one of the books and read a little of it, then asked me how I slept at night, and the answer was, not very well. I got an A on the paper, but there was a cost. I couldn't sleep. This forced me to make decisions on what I believe, and the first thing I did was confirm that I believe in the higher power essence of God. And I prayed for light to illuminate the darkness that I had innocently pulled into my life writing that high school paper. And the light came, and the light blessed me. Now, 35 years later, the light still comes to bless me, and it dissipates the darkness of fear when I allow it into my life. Remember, I'm just like you, living in the physical world that is filled with the illusion of fear. As I grew up, my great-grandmother and my grandmother had a bond. a knowing between them of what was going on in each other's lives without telling each other. My grandmother and I have that same bond, that knowing. And to this day, when my grandmother asks specifically about my daughter or my husband in that knowing tone of voice, I know that I need to just go to them and ask them what's going on. I tell them, Grandma has told on you, and you might as well fess up to whatever it is that's going on in their lives that we need to discuss so we can make everybody's life easier. You know, I knew that we all had this connection of knowing, but I didn't know how to tap into it. So in the early 80s, I researched ESP, and I got nowhere. Then in 1995, when my daughter Jessie was 7, we received some very disturbing news about a friend. And this news upset both of us very much. Jessie went downstairs to get something out of the dryer, and seconds later, she came running back upstairs, totally freaked out. She was convinced she heard a woman's voice gently say, "Hello." There was no one down there, and no TV or radio were on. I knew this was my great-grandma Haley, who died in 1984, trying to connect with us and comfort us. Then I decided that if she could talk to Jessie, then she could talk to me. I knew in my heart that connecting and visiting with one another, even though she was dead, was possible. I believed that I couldn't do it at that moment, but I knew if I tried hard enough that I would be able to. And so my quest to connect with deceased loved ones began in earnest. I read everything I could get my hands on by James Van Prague, Sylvia Brown, John Edward, and Doreen Virtue, just to name a few. And I took my family to a Doreen Virtue workshop, and I watched quietly, with a heavy heart, as my husband and daughter, who didn't want to go, wrote out messages from their angels while I sat there, pen poised above the paper, and got nothing. I tried meditating, and I fell asleep. Sometimes I was able to connect, and those connections were amazing. But most of the time, all I did was fall asleep, and I never connected with Grandma Haley. Then my cousin Vicky, another of Grandma Haley's grandchildren, became terminally ill with cancer. She was living with her parents, and the doctors didn't expect her body to continue fighting much longer. I lived 800 miles away from them, so my only communication was with Grandma Stockham, who visited Vicky often. Grandma Stockham told me her brother, Vicky's father, was struggling desperately with releasing his daughter to death. A couple of days before she passed, Vicky visited me while I was sleeping. Slowly I woke to the sound of laughter, but it was in my head, not in the room. In my mind's eye, I could see Vicky and Grandma Haley over to my right. We were in a garden of yellow roses. They were both so beautiful, and Vicky was laughing. She emphatically told me to tell her father that she was exuberant. She told me this several times, using the word exuberant over and over. And then she told me to tell my Grandma Stockham that she loved her. And I asked her if she wanted me to tell her mother anything, and she responded, "She already knows." Vicky then told me that my daughter, whom she'd never seen while living, is beautiful. I began to cry, and Grandma Haley told me to stop it, because my husband would tell me to get up and blow my nose. She knew that sniffing is a major annoyance to him, even though she had passed away before I met him. When I got up the next morning, I was very concerned that Vicky had passed during the night, but she hadn't. But she did pass a few days later. When the obituary came out, my grandma couldn't wait to call me. Vicky's brother had written the obituary, and in it he stated that Vicky had lived an exuberant life. He didn't know about the conversation I had with Vicky in the middle of the night, miles away, and yet he had used that very same word that Vicky had used. This experience confirmed it. I did it. I communicated with the other side, and I didn't even initiate it. They woke me up from a sound sleep to ask me to give a message to their living loved ones. The day after the vision, I passed the message to my grandmother, but not directly to Vicky's immediate family. Months after Vicky's death, I realized I hadn't passed that message on directly, and I hesitated because I didn't know how her parents would take the news. But I was reluctant to let Vicky down, so my reluctance to let her down overrode my hesitation to how her parents might react. So I called Vicky's mother, and I explained to her in detail the conversation I had with Vicky and my Grandma Haley. Vicky's mother was beyond ecstatic. She thanked me over and over for passing on the information. She explained she was missing Vicky terribly and praying for a message from her. I could hear in her voice how relieved she was and the peace the message had given her. She also confirmed my suspicion of Vicky's favorite flower, yellow roses. So know that when you have a vision about a deceased loved one while you're sleeping that's so vivid that it's as if it just happened weeks later, it was real. It really happened. You were communicating with the relative in the angelic realm. This was a huge turning point for me, because in Doreen Virtue's books, she teaches that you must be a vegan in order to communicate clearly with the angels. I'm hypoglycemic, and I have to have protein in my diet, and I really like getting it from beef. So shortly after the visit from my great-grandma and Vicky, I was in the bookstore looking for books on communicating with the angelic realm when the angels guided me to Angel Speak, How to Talk with Your Angels by Barbara Mark and Trudy Griswold. Angel Speak taught me how to take dictation from my angels, but I questioned whether what I was getting was real. Then in October of 2002, I decided to have a birthday dinner in honor of Nancy Strappell, my husband's aunt who passed the previous year. I was riding with my angels when I asked if Nancy was there. I heard her say she was, in her voice, inside my head. I told her of the birthday dinner plans and asked if she would come. She told me that she would be there with bells on. We chatted for a few minutes. I asked her advice and wrote down everything she told me. Then I asked her what kind of cake she wanted for her birthday. And she told me a cheesecake. Well, Nancy's a gourmet cook, and I'm not. So I told her that I don't know how to make a cheesecake with one of those cheesecake pans. So she told me to get a frozen one. I asked her if I should get some fruit for the cheesecake, and she told me that there was no need for fruit. So I asked Nancy to show me something to validate that we had talked with one another, you know, some kind of a sign, because I questioned if my imagination had made up the conversation. I told my husband of the talk with Nancy, and he informed me that Nancy would make her own cheesecake, that she would never buy a frozen one. So again, I explained to him that Nancy and I discussed that, and she was the one that said buy a frozen one. But my confidence in the conversation really happening was shaken. In the coming days, I watched and I listened for some kind of validation of our chat, but I never noticed anything. And then the night of Nancy's dinner, we put her picture on the table and had a really great meal with her son. And after dinner, I brought out the thawed cheesecake with a single candle. We sang happy birthday to Nancy and waited to see if the candle would blow out. Well, it didn't blow out, but while we were waiting to see if it would, the phone downstairs rang twice. Ring, ring. And Fred said, "That's Nancy with bells on." Well, we all laughed and blew out the candle. I served the cheesecake and asked Nancy's son what her favorite dessert was, and he said it was cheesecake. Holding my breath, I asked him if she liked fruit on it. He didn't hesitate. He told me she would definitely never, ever eat fruit on it. What a validation. I couldn't wait to get upstairs to see what else she told me. It was then that I knew that I was really communicating with my angels and those of the angelic realm. My experience in tapping into the communication within me wasn't like Barbara and Trudy of Angel Speak. I didn't wake up one morning communicating with my angels. That would have been so much easier. But no, I questioned and doubted and had to work really hard before I could part the veil. Something I know now is that during those years of trying to meditate to connect with deceased loved ones and angels, I did connect. Every time I tried to step into their world, I did. I just didn't know that I did. I kept doubting it because I expected to feel the connection. I wanted to see things and hear things. And looking back, I guess, you know, I expected the earth to shake and lights to flash and to be magically transported to this other place. Now, at times, you know, I did see deceased loved ones and I had conversations with them, but only a small fraction of the time, and only when I reached a place of not trying so hard. Like in the surrender of sleep when I visited with Grandma Haley and Vicky. And in my human mind, that wasn't enough, so I didn't feel like my connection was working. Now I know that it isn't so hard that I made it hard. It's really easy to communicate with your angels. I found that the key to connecting with the angelic realm is shifting the doubting energy to matter-of-fact belief energy. Now you know that I'm just like you. I struggled and I doubted. So know that if I can do it, you can definitely do it. Now that being said, let's work together to open your heart to communicate with your angels. Go to the next track to learn how we're going to fish for angels.